Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
Thank Him for the gift of life. Thank Him for His grace and His mercies that keep speaking on us. Thank Him for His power that is at work in us. Thank Him that we have another opportunity to receive from Him. Him and only Him, His word will come alive in us. Shadalabala godeas. Indalababayas. Shandalalalaba kondelebekobayas. We give you praise and we give you glory. We thank you, Lord. Lekapaha shatakabaya. La da 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 ba sheka baroshe. Lepakado shadabaha. Landa namaha konde mahayas. Lebrande kabayo kadaya malada. Lebakado lebranda la baba. Meko de mahayas. We give you praise and we give you glory. Lord, let your power be felt. Let your word come alive. Let us be blessed. Let none of us live here the same. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your word come to us in power and in might. Lebra kashada bahakata. Lebrandos kabayandi mahandas. Le kodose vranda. La bagaze grando shada bahaya. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lebra kashada bahakadia baha. Rabado shanda bahaya. Lebako brandi vahadeas. Lagadea balara. Ekabala da bashanta kabaya rabadeze de yakandole maza mandoski bandi barashataya rabakaya sodia bahagado rekatala bahaya lo zebroko shada bahaya. We give you praise and we give you glory. We want to thank God. Just keep thanking God for the privilege to be in His house. Thank Him that His word is coming to you. You will hear His voice. His voice shall mean so much to you. Understanding will come to you. Clarity will come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lebra gashanda bahagazea. Rakonde makashanda ba. Lebra gadaya sodiyama. Rabado zabalaba. Lebranda la babande gozi grandes. Yandi zavani ando shadaba. Reboro shandaba mikonda. Rabade zagadia maloda. Rebarada shandaba. Yes, we give you all the honor. We thank you, Lord, for day after day, you continue to load us with your mercies. Leba kashada baba, ragada baba baba shakataya ba, la baba bala namahaya deneme, ekamala mana mama mama mama, rajandi karadoja, reke denema kayanda daba, yanda la baba baba baba, leba nama nama. Unto you, Lord, be all the praise. Unto you, Lord, be all the glory. As we sit to hear your word, let nothing be said outside your will. In the name of Jesus, let your word frame us. Let your word frame us. Let your word frame us. Lebra kashataka, rabado shadababa, lekatana makumbaradea, labado shadababala, lebranda labababala, lozekane makundabala, akobala zabayande lebezea, rembababaro shadarara, we give you praise and we give you glory. We give you praise and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let us be blessed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seat tonight. I was supposed to continue what we began last week, but as usual, we don't preach what we want to preach. We preach what the Spirit leads us to prepare. So right this afternoon, in my prayers, I felt led to preach on this subject because I saw that a lot of people were rushing in life. Many of us want to go ahead of God. Many of us want to take steps that God isn't part of. So I'm teaching on the subject, growing in patience. Growing in patience. And patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So growing in patience means you are maturing in the Spirit. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Growing in patience. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, keep it at the Amplified. But the fruit of the Spirit, that's the result of His presence within us, is love. That love that is the fruit of the Spirit is an unselfish concern for others. Joy, that's inner joy, peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act whilst waiting. So this patience is not the ability to just wait, but how we act whilst we are waiting. It's going to be interesting. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, 23. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Give me the Message version of that quickly. It's good to read the scriptures. He said, but what happens when we leave God's way? He brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitment. Verse 23, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal. So the patience is not needing to force your way in life. But many people are forcing their way in life. Though we know the scripture that says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We are trying to use all our common sense. Let me put it that way. The way that seems right to us to run our lives. Give me the NLT version of the Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, 23. Say gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. So we have seen in scripture that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And in fact, the Amplified defined it for us that it's not just a patience to wait, but what we do in our waiting. What we do in our waiting. Now, go to James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 8. NLT version. The Bible said that, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So the Bible interchanges, or where patience should be, you can see the word forbearance or endurance. So the word patience can also be endurance or forbearance. He said, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has the chance to grow. It means the testing of our faith is going to ensure that our patience will grow. That means that every one of us has a level of patience. Every child of God has a level of patience. But thank God, the patience can grow. But how can the patience grow? It will only grow when our faith is tested. A tested faith will produce an increase in our patience. Verse number four, the Bible said that, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So, you can be a Christian and have an immature patience. The fruit of the Spirit called patience can be very low in a Christian. And that level of patience can cost you in your walk with God. Many people in the church are not growing in patience. We are not maturing and we are not developing patience. And anytime you don't stay in patience, you can miss the will of God for your life. You can miss a blessing. We will find out at the end of the teaching. You can miss a miracle for being impatient. Now, the famous psychologist, or a psychologist educator, his name is Sir John Dewey. This is what he said. He said, the most useful virtue in life or in the world, I'm quoting him, the most useful weapon or virtue in the world is patience. The most useful virtue in the world is patience. We need patience all the time, and we need patience everywhere. In every area of your life, you will need patience. A matured Christian will always have the virtue of patience. Every matured Christian exhibits patience. And in fact, patience should be a prayer topic for everybody. Great achievers have learned how to be patient. Ask Father Abraham, ask Moses. If a man will be great in the kingdom of God, in the midst of the uncertainties and doubts and hardship and all that, that man must grow in patience. A lot of us have landed in wrong jobs, in wrong marriages, in wrong associations, and taking certain decisions out of impatience. So I believe this teaching is going to bless us all. You need patience in every area of your life. Anytime you leave patience behind, you are doomed for a distraction. Now, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, the NLT version, he said, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32. Better to be patient than powerful. That's what the wise man is saying. He said, it is better to be patient than to be powerful. But you and I, if they ask you, if you see a patient man, you think he's not powerful. But from this scripture, it's saying that a patient man is more powerful than a powerful person. Please, are you following? A patient man is more powerful than a powerful person.
He said, better to be patient than powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. So a man who is walking, give me the amplified version of that. A man who is walking in patience is a very, very powerful man. And I see your patience growing this year. Yeah. He said, he who is slow to anger is better and more honorable than the mighty. And he who rules and controls his own spirit than he who captures a city. Look at the BBE. It's very interesting. He said, he who is slow to be angry is better than a man of war. So it's better to be a patient man than to be a powerful man. Because in patience, when you walk in patience, you are more powerful than a powerful man. If there is a prayer, you should always pray. Every day, every moment, spending time to be with the Lord is to pray that the Lord will make you more patient. Yes, is to pray that God will make you more patient. It is easy to appear to be patient in life when everything is fine. When everything is okay, everybody looks to be a patient person. But what about when things start becoming some way? And that is the state the whole world is. The whole world is in chaos. Continents are in chaos. Every sector of the universe is in chaos. Economies are in chaos. So this drives citizens and people, including Christians, to make certain decisions that is not born in the fruit of the Spirit called patience. And we are going to look at quite a number of things. Today is like a part one of the message. A part two will come next week. It's very easy for you to think that you have patience. But how will I know that my patience is strong? Until you are tested. Go back to James chapter 1, verse number 3. He said, for you know that when your faith is tested. Listen, if you are a man of faith in God, God will test you. The faith we have in God must be tested. It will be tested. And that is the only way you can know the strength of your patience. Until faith is tested, you will not know the strength of your patience. So a lot of people, that is why you this guy, I thought he was very prayerful. Why should this thing break him? Why should he take this decision? It's because when your faith is not tested, your patience will not grow. It's a testing faith that grows our patience. There is no way patience can grow until our faith is tested. The more our faith is tested. So Pastor, how will God test my faith? It's a lot. And the easiest one that comes to mind is your tithing. Yes, God will test you. So it's like, I've been paying my tithe all this while and still I am not blessed. God is testing you. Patience. When you are walking, God gave a word to Abraham. It took how many years? 25 years. Patience. Until his word came, the Bible said, the word tried him, Joseph. So, our patience, and as I'm teaching, you realize that you have been in those situations where God was testing your faith. And your faith will be tested if you will grow in patience. Anybody who has not grown in patience is a man whose faith is not strong. A strong faith is equal to an increased patience. When our faith becomes strong, or it keeps growing strong, because there is no limit to the growth of spiritual virtues. Spiritual virtues don't have limit of growth. Spiritual virtues don't have lifespan. You can grow to any stature. So a growing faith is synonymous to a growing patience. So for a patience to grow and develop and mature, many of us have walked out of our blessings. Many of us. So until the time came to fulfill his dreams, the Lord tested Joseph's character. So Amplified put it this way, that patience is not just the ability to wait, but what you do in your waiting. So he said, until his word came, until the time that his word of prophecy regarding. So people are impatient. They can be. That's why many people are not stable in church. Because when a prophetic word is given, we want it to manifest today, tomorrow. But look at Sarah, our great, 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 great grandmother. When God gives a word, it takes a season for it to manifest. Only those who will be patient, only those who will be patient, will see the fruit of that prophecy. He said, until the time that his word of prophecy regarding his brothers came true, the word of the Lord tested and refined him. It takes patience for us to see the fruit of our labor. It takes patience for us to begin to enjoy our fellowship with the Lord. It takes patience for people to walk into blessings. I always use the wall of Jericho. God said they should go around it once a day and 7 days, and on the seventh time, go around it 7 times. It takes patience. But God, why can't you use 1 day when we go around it once? Why can't the wall come down? God says, go through. So it takes patience for you to even obey God. It takes patience for you to even walk in divine instructions. Give me the BBE version of this. It takes patience for us to please God. Because I told you that a growing faith is a growing patience. Faith grows along with patience. So the Bible says in Psalm 105 verse 19, he said, till the time when his word came, he was tested by the word of the Lord. He was tested. God cannot disappoint you. Yesterday I was on evangelism and I met this man and a woman. And the first question they threw to me, that can God disappoint a man? I said, no. God does not have the ability. God does not have the capacity. There is no nature in God that can disappoint. It's like this microphone can never become jollof. It doesn't have the there is no day that this microphone can turn into jollof. God, there is no shadow of turning in God. God is not a man that he should lie. So God cannot. He is the truth, the way, and the life. Are you with me? So God cannot disappoint. If anybody will disappoint, it is us that disappoint God and disappoint others. So it is good that our faith is tested. And when our faith is tested, the Bible says, and Abraham believed God. I don't know what God has told you. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him as righteousness. God has to test us. I don't know. God took Abraham through the test. Each of us will go through the test. God comes to Abraham and says, go and sacrifice your beloved son for me. And whilst he was just about to slaughter the head, God said, hey, stop. And God provided a ram in the thicket. And what did God say to Abraham? Now I know that you love me. God will always test you. to unleash you to your next blessing. God will always test us before he ushers us to our next blessing. So we are going to look at now, we've come to understand that we must be tested. As I preach this, I have seen this word literally. So the Bible said, for what saith the Lord? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Romans chapter 4 verse 3. Yes. God will test you. God will test you. It was not that easy for Abraham to obey God and take Isaac to sacrifice. It wasn't that easy. It wasn't that easy. It wasn't. It takes patience to walk in divine instructions. And therefore, it takes patience to enjoy the fruit from God. Now, four ways to test your patience. So we are going to go through four ways. I think that will be the end of today's teaching. Next week, I'll teach on how to grow your patience. But right now, we are concluding today's teaching with four ways to test our patience. Four ways to test our patience. Because sometimes what we are expecting from God is not what God has designed for us. Sometimes the path that we think God should use, he will not use. Sometimes the helpers we think God is going to use, he is not going to use. But he has chosen unexpected, unpredictable ways. It took a maid to lead Saul into kingship. It took a maid to lead Naaman, the mighty warrior, into his healing. So sometimes our predictions are not actually God's written ordinances for our lives. It will take patience for us to later discover the will of God. He said, the word that he sends, he speaks, it does not return unto him void. So if God has said something, he will stand by what he has said and not by what we have said. Now, four ways to test your patience. Are you ready? Number one. This is a powerful message. To test your patience. Number one. And you see, this message is beyond temperament. When the word of the Lord is coming, it's coming for everybody. If you are sanguineous, God wants you to be patient. If you are melancholic, God wants you to be patient. If you are phlegmatic, God wants you to be patient. So, psychology does not overrule the instructions of God. Psychology is a study, and it's not above the word of the Lord. So whether you are choleric, whether you are melancholic, the word of the Lord says that now but the fruit of the Spirit, and one of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. And fruits are harvested from an orchard after a period of time. So the fruit of the Spirit is cultivated. We have it, but we cultivate it. We grow in it. We develop patience. So, four ways to test your patience. How patience have destroyed a lot of lives. Some of us, because of impatience, your trophies are still locked somewhere. Impatient. Just imagine the Israelites. God said they should go around it once a day for 7 days. Then after the sixth day, they say, oh, this God cry. And on the seventh day, they went once and they stopped. Are you here? They would have missed out on a big blessing. Now, let's start. Because you see, the cost of impatience is too dear.
The cost of impatience. Now, Jesus had to hang on the cross for, it's estimated, 3 hours. And he had to die and be buried for 3 days. He had to be patient for the 3 days to take place. For him to rise and pick up a name that is above all other names. That at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. But he must be dead and buried for 3 days. And on the third day he will rise. Patience. Tell yourself, I shall be patient. And say, Lord, help me to grow in patience. So the first way you test your patience is when interruptions happen. When interruptions happen in your life. Interruptions. I-N-T-R-A-T-E-R-R-U-P-T-I-O-N-S. Interruptions. When you are interrupted, what do you do? When you are interrupted, what do you do? None of us want to be interrupted in any way. We all don't like interruptions. Many human beings, or most of us, don't like interruptions. Yeah. In many, many forms. Even the disciples of Jesus did not like the interruptions of men. Anytime people were interrupting the normal schedules of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus would get angry. Interruptions. Why am I talking and you interrupted me? So when your normal schedule is interrupted, how do you react? It's a test to show you the level of your patience. So when Jesus was ministering and people were coming on Jesus or interrupting, you see that the disciples were, no. So let's go to Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 to 14. How do you react when you are interrupted? It tells you the level of your strength. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 to 14. He said, one day, no, give me the KJV. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. You see, he was teaching, and the people brought children. Then the guy said, don't bring children here. So no one, I don't think that anybody is here who likes to be interrupted. When the flow of ECG is, the power is on and then they off it. Doomsaw. We all don't want to have doomsaw. But remember the definition of that fruit of the spirit of patience. What do you do in your waiting? But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. When you are interrupted, what do you do? How do you behave? How do you act? Number two, inconveniences. When you are inconvenient, when people and things inconvenience you, what do you do? It's a measure. It helps you to test your patience. We all don't want inconvenience. So as a growing church, one of the inconveniences is that you'll be in an uncompleted building, you'll be in a rented building. As a growing couple, one of the inconveniences is that you will find yourself in a compound house, you will find yourself with limited resources, you will find yourself when you are having children, maybe you need a house help, you need a help, you don't have a help. As for inconveniences, we face it every day. When you are faced with it, what do you do? When you are inconvenient, when things are inconvenient, what do you do? Everything, see, we have become
a microwave generation so that we don't want anything to cut a flow. When we are inconvenient, hey, there's a big problem. How do you behave when you are inconvenient? Do you flare up? Are you able to calm down and seek solution? I'm teaching us how to test your patience. Inconveniences. Are we serving God in our convenience? So when there are inconveniences, we easily give excuses. So when we are inconvenient, what do? When it rains, people will not pass through to come to church. But when it rains and you have an exam, you pass through and go and write your exams. So when there is an inconvenience, we lack the endurance to continue to commit to what we are. That's why I began the teaching by saying that you would think that you are patient until you find yourself in other situations. When everything is going well, you think you are a patient person. No one loves inconveniences. Everything must be now. Everything must be now. Anything that will be an inconvenience. Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 40 tells us about a woman who had trouble being patient, Mary. Mary was inconvenient because Jesus had visited herself and her sister, Martha. And they were all talking, but she felt the burden of cooking for everybody. Extra duty. Now, I'm asking you, if you are extra burdened, if you have found yourself doing something extra, maybe two people must move the pulpit, but the other person is not showing up, and you are the only person moving the pulpit, how will you behave? Especially when you are doing a project and it's a group project. There will be some two people, one person. They don't even know what is happening. And because they know that there is one responsible lady or one responsible guy there, by all means, those people who want to get A+, they will do their work. And when they are defending, those who were not part will be at the back. I've seen a video some time ago where when they finish the project, one guy, he doesn't even know what they are doing. He doesn't even know the topic. Then he was hiding at the back. Unfortunately for them, during the defense, the lecturer pointed to him to come and present. And it was chaos. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation, even in your family, you may have to bear all the bills. How patient are you? Inconveniences helps us to test our patience. As a pastor, God keeps testing me, my patience. Many young pastors have been tested and then they fail. When you are tested and you fail, you are out of a major divine plan of the enemy, of God. Major. God is testing. How are you using the finances? How are you committed to Him? Much is given, much is required. He said, if you are faithful in little, that, you see, there will be that little stage of your life. And you must be patient to pass that test. It can be an inconvenience, but what will you do? What will you do when you are inconvenient? When you face an inconvenience, what will you do? Are you patient? You are not perfect. That is why you must seek to grow. Because patience can be made perfect. Go back to James chapter 1, verse 3. He said, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." Go to the next verse. "For so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed," it means that your endurance or your patience can be at a state where it is developed but not fully developed. But God wants us to have our patience growing each day, because the sign that your faith is growing is that you are growing in patience. Wow, what a teaching. The third way to test your patience, you have to make sure that you are growing. You are growing in patience. You are growing in patience. You are growing. He said, when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. May your patience grow. May we grow in patience. Yes, a generation has risen that shows a clear sign of impatience. And that is when trouble. So go to the verse 2. And next week, I'll show you the cause of impatience. Maybe I'll say it at the end of the teaching. The next week, we will deal with how to develop or how to grow in patience. He said, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way," troubles of what? Any kind. Whether you cause it, you didn't cause it, whether it was in the church or it wasn't in the church, wherever the trouble comes from, James is saying that, "Consider it an opportunity for great joy." That supposes that the testing of your faith is an opportunity. It's even a blessing for God to choose you to test your faith. It's a blessing. Yeah, it's a blessing. And that James is helping us to define troubles of any kind. So James is saying, troubles of any kind is equal to opportunity for great joy. See it as an opportunity and not a curse. We have to define what the problem is before the devil defines it to us. One of the things I should have taught today was to continue with the weapons, the armor of God. Okay, we did the belt of truth. We're going to do the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes. But it was right there. I would have talked about it, but this is okay. So anytime you fall into any kind of trouble, the Bible says, count it all joy. Why? Because it's an opportunity for your faith to be tested, an opportunity for your patience to also be tested, and for it to grow. Because when it grows, verse 4, you will lack nothing. You want nothing. May our patience grow. May we be patient. May we be patient. May we be patient with people. May we be patient with people. May we be patient with people. May we be patient with God. May we be patient with the workings of God. May we be patient. May we be patient. Not just waiting, but what we do in the waiting. It's very important. Amen. The third way to test our patience is irritations. 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 Many of us have made very dangerous decisions out of impatience. Because the level of your patience will determine the level or the quality of your decision making. Yes. The level, I repeat it, the level of our patience determines the quality of our decision. The level. When you are irritated, what do? It tells you what type of patience you have. It tells you when you are irritated. So we have looked at when you are interrupted, when you are inconvenienced, and when you are irritated, what do? Many marriages are broken, have just been corrupted and poisoned forever because in these situations, irritations, words are spoken that never die. Actions are taken that never got repaired. When you are irritated, what do? When you are irritated, what do? When you are irritated, what do? When you are irritated with an issue, I'm going to give you an example. It is a serious one. Our patience level shows, it's not, our prayer life does not show our maturity. It's our patient life. How patient a man is tells you his maturity level. Yes. Haven't you realized that the more you grow, the more you understand things better than you used to understand before? Hello? Can you confirm that? You understand certain things now better than when you were younger. Yeah. You see the prodigal son? The prodigal son was the youngest amongst the two. So immaturity is synonymous to impatience. He was impatient. And out of impatience, you will take a decision. Decisions are part of life. We will take decisions every time. Whether in full patience or impatient, we will take a decision. But the quality of the decision is determined by the level of patience we have in God. So when you are irritated, what do? Let's go to this man, this powerful man, who failed. Who failed because of irritation? Numbers chapter 20, verse 10 to 11. Moses was not just an impatient man. He wasn't impatient from the beginning. He was so patient. He was so patient. Look at how the people have won. Over 3 million people, women and children not counted. He led over 3 million people. Do you understand? 3 million people. One man. There was no minister of finance, no minister of this. One man. And look at the trouble from the beginning that they were giving him. Complain. Every level they were complaining. Moses was patient enough. When they complain, he doesn't curse them. He will run to God, say, God, your people. But it got to a point, he got irritated. And God gave him an instruction. And because at that point, his patience had exhausted. May you not find yourself in a temptation at the point when your patience has been exhausted. The Bible said that in the verse 10. The Bible said, then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels, he shouted. Must we bring you water from this rock? Verse 11. Then Moses raised his hand. He was supposed to speak to the rock. But the people were annoying him. Let's read from verse 1. Just let's read. They were annoying him. They've annoyed him. You see, irritation will help you test your patience. Husbands, wives, workers, irritations. In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin and camped at Kadesh. Whilst they were there, Miriam died and was buried. Verse 2. There was no water for the people to drink at the place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. The people blamed Moses and said, so if you were Moses at this point, you have led them through the Red Sea, you've settled in the wilderness, snakes bite them, God shows you what to do to heal them. They needed water the first time. God made you lift the rod and hit the rock, and they got water. Hey, look, look at them again. If only, he said, the people blamed Moses and said, if only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into this? So how many times would they be saying this? So if you are Moses as a leader, me, I'm sure I'll be saying what I'm saying. How many times will God prove to you that he's God? Won't you ask? Me, I'll ask. How many times? I'll scream at them. So I understand Moses. I'll scream at them. How many times didn't you see God, the 10 plagues of Egypt? Didn't you see a stick turning into snake? Didn't you see all the water bodies becoming bloody? Didn't you see frogs? Didn't you see tumors? Didn't you see the firstborns dying on the land? Didn't you walk through the Red Sea? Did you ever think about walking through a sea? Didn't you see how God destroyed? Didn't you? And you are here saying, why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into the wilderness to die? Along with all our livestock. Verse 5. Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? At this point, they've started eating manna. Every morning when you wake up, food, baked food from heaven. Chicken, roasted, grilled chicken. You are eating. And you are still asking these questions. Have you brought us here for us? This land has no grain. But where God was taking them, in the wilderness, there will be grain. This is the point where they walked and none of them had sores on their feet. And look at the question. If you were their leader, what do you do? Irritations. This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranate, and no water to drink. Verses. Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle where they fell. They fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. Verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, you and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. And as the people watch, speak to the rock. Speak to the rock over there. Speak to the rock over there. So that means they have already seen a miracle where Moses had taken a rod and hit the rock. And water came from the rock. That one, they still don't believe that God can take them to the wilderness. They still can't believe that Pastor Moses, the same pastor that held the rock to hit the rock for water to come out. They have not seen anything like that before. Still, they had issues. That is why as a pastor, it is very dangerous for you to live your life to please the people. Because if you even kill yourself, they won't see. Are you here? Then he said, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. You see, God didn't react like the way Moses was reacting. I know that Moses was not happy from the last verses. He became impatient. He became irritated. He was not happy. He was not. So Moses did as was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Verse 10. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels. I told you, Moses was tired, irritated. And it's exclamation. The people of God, he said, rebels. He shouted, must we bring you water from this rock? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff. And water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank
to fill or drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people. Hey, that takes us to another dimension. It means that your level of patience in God determines your level of sanctification in the sight of God. It doesn't just show your level of faith, but it shows your level of holiness and sanctification. So patience is a strong key. If you're a man of faith, we must see patience. If you're a man of sanctification, we must see patience. So patience is a marker. When we say marker, it's like when somebody has cancer, we will measure what we call cancer markers. So if it's ovarian cancer, we will measure the cancer marker CA125. So we'll check whether you have CA125 in your blood. If you have it in your blood, that means that there is, at a certain level, above 24 or so, that means that there is ovarian cancer. So one of the markers in the life of a man of faith is strong patience. A great patience. May you grow in patience. May you, and see, and because Moses lacked patience, he missed out on the blessing of the promised land. This is a key. I wish everybody was listening to this message. Your patience is a key. Patience is a key. So next week, you shouldn't miss next week. I'm going to teach us how to grow in patience. Because look at the work Moses has done. All this while, he has labored. He had gone to the wilderness for 40 years to be trained. He came back, confronted Pharaoh, and all the fears, all the drama from there, from the wilderness, this, that, from through the Red Sea. All those labors were grounded. But he couldn't get to the promised land because he ran out of patience. Don't miss out on this year's blessing. There is a blessing from God for you. And impatience can cost you. The last one. So what do you do when you are irritated? The last, but not the least, test of our patience is inactivity. Inactivity. When you are not active, when you are supposed to wait. We all don't like waiting. When we are supposed to wait. When nothing is happening, what do you do? It is different when you are hungry and you get home and you are hungry. Then they say, oh, wait. The jollof is on fire. It's different. Now, that kind of waiting, you are in the hall, you are smelling the aroma. So, like, that waiting is actually a time of reassuring yourself that, oh, by all means, something will happen. But when there is you can't see what God is doing. God says, wait. Will you be patient? So God, my bro, I'm tired. I mean, how can there not be any issue? My God, why have you forsaken me? When there is no action, what will you do? We often speak about the patience of Job. Every time we are talking, we talk about Job. But, you know, that man had no option than to be in a state of inactivity. His children are dead. His businesses have gone off. His wife has provoked him to curse God and die. He didn't. He left. She left. He had wounds all over his body. Even his friends, three closest friends, he lost them.
He had no choice. Where was he going? He had to wait. Job chapter 14, verse 14. He had to wait. When there's no activity, and sometimes in God there is no activity. Yes. Sometimes when you are working with God, there will be no activity. Remember, he used 7 days to create the world, but on the seventh day he rested. No activity. Sometimes when you are working with God, there is no activity. Israelites going around the wall of Jericho, day one, no activity. The wall was still intact. Day two, the same. Day three, the same. Until day seven, when the activity happened, they never thought what they were doing was going to produce an effect. I'm sure some of them, they were just going around. Joshua said, we should go around. They will go. Remember Elijah. Elijah prophesied that rain was coming. How many times did he send the servant? 7 times. And the first one, there was no show. Sometimes in God, there will be no show. But you have to be patient. Tell yourself, I'll be patient. Yeah. You can pay your tithe. Sincerely, you can love God. You can be serving God. The father of John the Baptist, Zachariah, the priest, he was burning incense on the altar consistently. And for a long time, a very pious, holy, righteous couple, they had no child. But one day, the Bible said, when the clouds are full, the rains will fall. The Bible said in Job chapter 14, verse 4, can the dead live again? If so, this would give me hope through all my years of struggle, and I will eagerly await the release of death. Yeah, waiting. They that wait upon the Lord, wait. God says, wait. God says, wait. When there is no activity, when you cannot see any activity, it doesn't mean there is no God there. God is working behind the scene. God is working it out. 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 God, when there is no, where did the bread come from to feed 5,000 people? Where did the bread come from? There was no opening of any physical bakery, but suddenly 5 loaves of bread could feed all those multitudes. Sometimes in God, there is no activity. There's no activity. When you plant a seed, it takes some days for you to see the sprouting. By now, the farmers are planting. They're planting maize and all that. Those who have planted it early, the shootings have started. When you are working with God, sometimes there's no activity. What do you do? Some people can be in a church. When the small time, they are tired. Then they disappear. No, God. Sometimes God, there's no activity. So when there's no activity, what will you do? Testing your patience. Look at the man by the pool of Bethesda. How many years was he there? 38 years. There was no activity for 38 years. But when the time came, he was free. I pray that this word, the part one of this word, has blessed you. Impatience will get you into trouble that God has not ordained. Impatience. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. I wish we had the GNT version. But if you don't have, give me the NLT. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2. I'm closing. This should be my last scripture. And I'll tell you something. I'm going to give you a scientific research. He said, enthusiasm without knowledge is no good. Haste makes mistakes. Give me different versions. Let's work with that. There's one that says that impatience leads you into trouble. He said, ignorant zeal is worthless. Haste makes waste. I like that one. Haste makes waste. Yeah. Further, without knowledge, desire is good. And he who is overquick in acting goes out of the right way. Wow. Are you learning something? Give me another one. It is dangerous and sinful to rush into the unknown. And this is what many of us are doing. Many people are rushing into the unknown. The Amplified says that also it is not good for a person to be without knowledge. And he who hurries with his feet, acting impulsively and proceeding without caution or analyzing the consequences, sins. That means that he misses the mark. Any more version? I'll say something. This is actually the last scriptural thing I'm saying. Then I'll give you a scientific research resource concerning this. I'm looking for that one. That one, I think the GNT. The GNT. Want the GNT version. It says that impatience will lead you into trouble. Proverbs 19, verse 2. Enthusiasm without knowledge is not good. Impatience will get you into trouble. Impatience will get you into trouble. Now, medical researchers agree with this scripture that impatience will take you into trouble. It has been researched. Something has come out of it, and they've confirmed that an impatient life can actually wreck your health. Now, listen. They have discovered a whole new disease called hurry sickness. H-U-R-R-Y. Hurry sickness. Proverbs 19:2. Doctors Mayor Friedman and Ray H. Rosenman. So, Doctors Mayor Friedman, you can go and search them. And Ray H. Rosenman says that 90% of heart attack victims have this disease. Hurried type A personality. Impatience will lead you into trouble. 90% of people who suffer heart attack have this disease, the hurry disease. Their habitual impatience gets them into trouble. Impatience will lead you into trouble. Thank you for the word. Holy Spirit, close your eyes and pray for 2 minutes. Pray that, Lord, help me to cultivate patience. Help me to wait for my time. Help me. Kadadaba shaka talabohosha. May the Lord help us to grow in patience. May the Lord help us become patient. May the Lord help us to walk in the path of patience. May the Lord help us, Lord, the character of patience in the midst of irritation, in the midst of inactivity, in the midst of inconvenience, in the midst of interruptions. That we will not miss the blessings of this year. In the name of Jesus, that we will not make choices and decisions and moves that are born outside patience. In the name of Jesus, in Lebru Shavari Katabahaya, Adenene Mazoke.
Every attack of impatience, every attack against our patience, we declare in the name of Jesus, it shall not survive. In the name of Jesus, we will grow in patience. In the name of Jesus, Makadabahaya, Lebra Kashata Baba, Groma Subrinda Bahatayas, Adenema Kapario Shada, Leba Kataya Baba. We will not be denied our blessing because of impatience. In the name of Jesus, we Baru Shada Gada, Rabada Baba Shata Kayanda, Rebada Baba Baba. The fruit of patience will grow in us. In the name of Jesus, we will mature. We will develop the fruit of patience. In the name of Jesus, we will not be denied. 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 Lebra kashada baba, endada baba. Baptize us, O Lord, with the spirit of patience. Patience is waiting in your word, in waiting for your word. In the name of Jesus, we come against anxieties. We come against haste. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. We thank you, Lord, for your hand that is upon us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to somebody and say, be patient. Say, be patient. Yeah, maybe you are going to make a move. Maybe somebody is listening to me. You are going to make a move. God say, be patient. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. For God is not a man that he should lie. Amen and amen. And next week, I'm going to teach on how to grow. So it's the part two for next week. How to develop patience. And one major cause of lack of patience is the absence of peace. That is why it looks, it's not a coincidence. When you go to the Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, right after peace comes patience. Right after peace. Yeah, that's it. Right after peace. So when there is peace, so the first, I'll say come next week, I'll teach. Yeah. When there is peace, there'll be patience. When you have peace with God, when your orientation changes with God, you'll be patient. It's only those who are not at peace that become impatient because they don't know whether what they are losing, they will ever recover. But when you are at peace, even if you have lost, the Lord will restore. That is the power of peace. Amen. So next week, I will deal with how to grow in patience. It took a lot of... This is a message that I have personally experienced a lot of them. Yeah. Because naturally, I am very impatient with things. I want everything fast, fast, fast. But over time, when you grow, when you are growing with the Lord, He begins to empower you for you to bear fruit in the fruit of the Spirit. So whatever I'm teaching, I actually have tested it and it's working. So next week I'm going to teach on how to grow in patience. Amen.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Caris Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Caris Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Caris. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you and God richly bless you.